Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for the Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift Preview, the 2023 edition, the second edition of the race that began last year. Eight stages in total. We're going to do our complete preview, including the route, stage-by-stage analysis, the top, all the teams, particularly the top teams, the riders they're bringing, their objectives, their strategy, and what we think they should do most importantly as well. That's the most important thing. And yeah, well, I can't wait to get into this preview. It's an interesting route. It goes from the middle in Clermont-Ferrand, which also had like three of the men's tour stages begin or finish there. And it starts there and basically heads south towards the Pyrenees. And there's some medium mountain sort of Massif Central stages there, which don't look too hard, but I think are quite difficult. And yeah, the real GC stages are backloaded once again. That's what the organizers have chosen to do with a Tourmalet stage 7 and a TT stage 8. Very similar to the way they did it last year, but now with a much more brutal... The Tourmalet is more difficult, that stage, Benji, than either of the two Vosges stages last year, although those two together maybe were more difficult when you combine them.
Yeah, but I am happy that we've got a time trial this year, because last year a lack of a time trial was kind of like, ooh, there's not that many opportunities for time trialists in the World Tour in women's cycling. So to see it at the top step here is something that I like. I have no issue with the backloaded aspect. We know that last year Van Vleuten destroyed people on the mountains. This year I feel like there's more competition, that it won't just be a one-sided affair in that sense. So I like it still that it's backloaded, regardless of the fact that I do think we have competition, because it also gives more opportunities for more people to jump into the yellow jersey in the first couple of days, for more intriguing aspects to occur. One thing that I don't think we will necessarily see is something we don't see often in cycling, that often in cycling, is a breakaway victory. I feel like in the Tour de France Femme, we'll have so many teams that want to win the stage from the peloton that I feel like it's unlikely a breakaway, a true breakaway, wins the stage.
And also because there is no GC stage early on to really break up and give someone, you know, someone like Elisa Longo-Borghini, for example, she would get torched on Tourmalet by Van Vleuten normally, but she's still a really strong rider. Or maybe not torched, but like, let's just work with me here. Well, say she loses 6-7 minutes on that sort of stage, or 5 minutes, and then she could go on a break. But because she won't lose that time early on, why would she be allowed in a breakaway? She's a really strong rider. So that's the sort of the problem. And maybe we will see a breakaway in the difficult stages control. Maybe we will see more attacks and like a breakaway late in the stage.
Yeah.
In some of these Massif Central stages, that's what I expect. And maybe trying to use numerical advantage. But yeah, there's four flat stages. I think that's generous. I think some of those aren't. They're not pure sprint stages to me. Two hilly stages, one mountain stage, and the ITT. There's the fourth stage from Cahors to Rodez, which I think is the reverse of the stage 19 Laporte won last year, is the race's longest at 177Ks. That's quite long. And seven riders per team. And this year, again, 2.5 hours of live coverage every day. And I think actually rumor on the ground was, and this is, I heard this a month or two ago, is that France TV is actually moving all of its coverage from France TV 3 to France TV 2, which is the bigger channel. Because I think last year was half and half, but the ratings were so good last year that they're like, we're putting it all on France TV 2, which the men's tour is on as well. So obviously demand is really good. And the domestic broadcaster was super happy with it last year, as was ASO, I believe. And I thought it was a great addition. And I think this one is going to be really good as well, particularly because this start list is absolutely stacked. As a reminder of last year, Annemiek van Vleuten won. Wiebes was the the best pure sprinter, winning the first two flat sprints on the Champs-Élysées, where we don't start, by the way. So logistically difficult for ASO now, Benji, having two races in a different location compared to
would
last
you reckon,
year.
As a cycling fan, is it difficult for us to not have closure yet on the men's Tour de France, but already have to start getting into the Tour de France Femmes, who starts the morning, well, not the morning of, but earlier than the Champs-Élysées stage of the men? Because, like, it doesn't make sense in my head for some reason. I kind of would have enjoyed it being a day later.
I don't give a fuck about the Champs-Élysées stage.
I know you don't.
In the men's race. So I even didn't cover the video for it last year. I think for 2 years, I just was like, maybe I should.
Like,
but
also because, like, this Tour de France Femmes first stage is going to be way more intriguing.
Exactly.
Way more fun to follow. And there's way more unpredictable stuff that can happen on that stage. But you said it, Lorena Wiebes. Also, Marianne Vos also was quite dominant in the versatile sprints last year, I would say. And the main factor that I got out of last year is that while Van Vleuten was super dominant in the mountain stages, SD-Works also kind of didn't really try overly to take advantage of the other type of stages in the race. So I wonder if they will try and do that this year, or whether they will have confidence in just Demi Vollering being able to follow on the Tourmalet.
I think, yeah, that's an interesting question that we're going to get into, because as you said, last year, SD-Works perhaps naive, perhaps not wanting to, because Mühlmann was still on SD-Works last year, is that correct?
Yeah.
It seemed like problems, or just they were doing SD-Works things where if a big champion is struggling, you better take your opportunity because she'll kill you later. And that's what Van Vleuten did. And now this year, and yeah, AVV won the inaugural edition last year. She changed her bike like five times on the Platzer-Wasel stage. But to remind you of sort of how this year has gone, if you're just dipping into women's cycling now, just a brief overview basically from my memory, Lotte Kopecky on SD-Works was dominant in the classics, but Demi Vollering was good too. Although in Strada Bianca, we saw perhaps the SD-Works of old, they, you know, where the synergy or cohesion between them wasn't brilliant, yet they still won because they were too good anyway. And in Flesch, Vollering also won. In Liège, she did the triple, right? She won.
Yes.
Vollering did the triple in the Ardennes. She was just the best punchy rider. And Van Vleuten was there too.
I'd argue that Vollering was the best classics rider in general. Yeah, Kopecky won RVV and was the favorite for Roubaix, but to be able to, most successful rider of the preseason, Demi Vollering. That's how I see it personally. But that doesn't necessarily translate into GC rides and so forth.
For sure.
The UAE Tour was one of the first like mountain races we followed, and they weren't really present, Van Vleuten nor SD-Works, with their top riders. So it was Trek that took that away with the combination of Realini, a new kiddo on the block this year, but absolutely ruthless when it comes to the longer climbs. Arguably one of the best climbers, if not the best pure climber, top three, definitely, in the world right now. So that is one big talent stepping up in that sense, but she's not on the start list of this race. Are you surprised by that?
I am, because Tourmalet would really, really suit her. On Lagos de Covadonga, she was, in my opinion, almost the strongest. She had gearing issues and still dropped Van Vleuten. And the Tourmalet, I think, is more difficult. It's so long, and the longer the better for her. So, yeah, maybe she is young. She's done a lot of racing. I don't know, but I was surprised not to see her. I would expect Trek, if she could have gone in good shape, they would have taken her. But as you said, stage racing is different, Benji, and in La Vuelta, which was an outstanding race.
Speedgate.
Well, yeah, in La Vuelta, we saw SD-Works of last year rear its head, where Vollering now was actually the strongest, in my opinion, physically.
Yeah.
But Annemiek van Vleuten got that dog in her. And there was a crosswind stage there where SD-Works went for a pee, but they also dallied around the back with the whole team for ages and basically got launched in crosswinds.
I think this was...
Yeah, this was the Guadalajara, I think was the stage. I might be wrong. And yeah, Vollering lost a lot of time. And so even though she was stronger than Van Vleuten on Covadonga, which was a mountaintop finish, putting nearly a minute into her, Van Vleuten was able to hold on to GC in that race by 9 seconds. I really recommend going if you want to catch up, watch the highlight videos on the Lantern Rouge YouTube channel. That was just a crazy couple of stages. So that was an example of what we said last year in the Tour de France Femme. And then in Basque Country, Benji, that's where I'm really interested if SD Works have learned from that. That was only a three-day stage race straight after La Vuelta, but their Roycer 1GC, yes, the mountain stage wasn't as difficult, more medium mountain, but they were able to basically do what they wanted with Roycer against Roycer and Vollering teaming up against Van Vleuten. And I feel like that's, and they won that GC 1-2 with Roycer Vollering. Vollering would have won, but she allowed Roycer to win basically. And I feel like that's a lesson for them in these medium mountain stages that they need to somehow bait Van Vleuten with Roycer moves.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea as well. Then again, I also am not the most confident person in Roycer to be able to stay within 2-3 minutes of a Van Vleuten and a Vollering on the Tourmalet. So Van Vleuten would need to be really scared at some point for that to really be an advantage. But I do think they can win stages that way with Roycer and so forth. And that numerical advantage in smaller groups that they will likely have with the team they have, that is definitely going to be valuable. And you pointed at Zulia Women. We now have Giro Don, which is a more recent version of a stage race this year, which was, well, it was domination by Van Vleuten, but his D-Works wasn't there with their top riders. So it's hard to compare there. So you've got that race where Van Vleuten is truly better than the second and third rider in the race, for example, Labou, Realini, Ewers, those riders are in the top four. But I don't know what would have happened if a Vollering and a Roycer arrives at that race. And that's the thing I want to see at the Tour de France Femme. It does give us a good indication of what the other riders in the peloton are compared to Van Vleuten, and the fact that Van Vleuten seems to have had an upward trajectory throughout the year, because in the early part of the season, I wasn't overly impressed. And it started gradually going up towards the Giro d'Italia, I would say.
And yeah, does that mean that Vollering's been at altitude and she's going to come in a little bit fresher, and because she had a big spring campaign and she's really peaking for the Tour de France Femme of Zwift? I don't know. But yeah, it's a mouthwatering prospect. And yeah, Vollering is the slight favorite at the bookmakers.
Really?
And yeah, she's the slight favorite.
Okay.
I think based on Covadonga would be... And I would also have her as the favorite too, to be honest. And here's her team. Yep. Cecchini, Bredewald, Majerus are the three domestiques. Kopecky is sort of the all-rounder, can do everything. Wiebes the sprinter. Roycer the big TT engine. And Vollering the GC leader. But also, she won the Ardennes Triple. She must have decent punch as well. There's a lot of competing priorities here, Benji.
Yeah.
Roycer wants to win the stage, but maybe they say, no, you've got the TT you can win in the last stage. Kopecky will want to win a stage. Wiebes wants to win stages. Vollering wants to win GC. In a team of seven, talk about balancing priorities. This is where I think Movistar have the edge, because Movistar's just, okay, I'm a Norse guard, might be allowed to go for a couple of sprints, but it's very clear what the direction of the Movistar team is. And how do you think that will work in SD Works?
I agree with you mostly, as in I do think that Movistar has somewhat similar things where Lippert might be going for some of the versatile hilly stages.
True.
In addition to Van Vleuten, where in the Giro d'Italia she actually had a sprint in uphill finishes. So I was actually kind of surprised that she's gone that forward when it comes to her kick against other riders. And I believe that's going to be valuable. But back to SD Works for a second. You said it. Wiebes, Kopecky, and so forth. That combination. Guarisci's not here. Guarisci's been the lead out for Wiebes the entire year, and she's been bloody great at it. Let that be very clear. Kopecky is probably going to end up being the lead out for Wiebes on the flat stages. She already mentioned in interviews that she's likely to be domestique for the majority of this race, but I've also heard that she actually wants to hunt for a stage as well. So the combination of both is difficult to see, because on the flat stage, it's obvious, right? Wiebes is your sprinter. On the versatile stages, where there are at least two, I would say maybe three even, where Wiebes and Kopecky have shared desires. The thing with Wiebes as well is that she's made such a major upgrade from last year in her versatility that I'm not certain Kopecky is the best option between the two on a hilly sprint of like 5% anymore, because Wibbs is, I'm going to swear, she's fucking good right now.
Yeah, overall, just excellent. Like, you look at her finish as well in that, is it Danilith Nukirakusa, the one Nalir wins? Like, yes. That's, she just ruined everybody. Like, bike lengths and bike lengths and bike lengths, but that was behind Kopecky, who'd gone up the road. So, you know, I look at stage one, we will get into the stage by stage, but stage one is just the most interesting stage where I want to see what SD Works do. 124Ks, and it's a flat finish, little bit uphill in Clermont-Ferrand in the last 400 meters. But there's a climb 9Ks to go where it crests, 1.6Ks, 7.6%. You could, on this stage conceivably, try and ride defensively and slow for the Vibas sprint. You could ride the climb quite hard for the Kopecky reduced group sprint mm-hmm. against Voss. You could attack with Reusser for a solo. You could ride the climb super hard for a Vollering very thinned out group sprint. I have no idea what they will do. I think, I don't know, because
what
you
would
could
you do?
You know me from even the men's racing, I don't care about stage, I care about GC. So mm-hmm. I would probably go with Reusser straight away and try
really?
And yeah. I would really thin it out and use Vollering's punch. Yeah. I would launch it and try and create a situation where it's a small group, very similar to the end of Côte de Pique, and have maybe Vollering able to attack in the downhill Van Vleuten, who's isolated straight away, and put Lippert under pressure for Van Vleuten. So yeah, I would already try and thin it out. I'm sorry for Kopecky and co. Thebes has a later stage, but yeah, that's how I would do it. I don't think they'll do that, but I really think you got to put pressure on AVV at all moments.
I understand that idea. I just lack the confidence in Reusser to be able to put that pressure in the first place. And therefore, I would go for... The thing is, like, if you take a look at the stage win for a second, and you hunt for the stage win, Wibbs is the obvious winner if this goes to a sprint with her in the group. That's known. Kopecky, you kind of look at what, for example, was it last year in Alfredo Binda, or 2 years ago in Alfredo Binda, where the Balsamo Longoborghini combo, where Longoborghini went into the group ahead, sat on the group, and then the rest of the team tried to bring Balsamo back over the top of the last hill, and Balsamo ended up winning the sprint afterwards. This feels like a plausible scenario, but the danger is, what if the first group makes it and Voss and Kopecky need to sprint against each other? I don't have full confidence in Kopecky winning that sprint.
No.
While if this group behind comes back, I've got full confidence that Wibbs wins the sprint. So would you rather hold it together by having Kopecky pace behind, but then you look at the parkour and it's only 6 kilometers of flat after the climb, and that's being very wide when it comes to the flat term. So I'd argue that with topping 10 kilometers from the finish line, 9.5 actually, 4 or 5 kilometers of descending, it's going to be really hard to pull an attack back if it's like a 20-second gap as well, especially if it's 4 or 5 riders, because then you've got the same amount of domestiques behind probably. So I think if they go for the stage, you need to put Kopecky in a defensive role in the group ahead and hope that you can bring the rest back.
Probably that is what they'll do. I dare say they'll be like, okay, if it's slow, we go with Vibas. If it's really, really hot, Kopecky can win a thinned out sprint. I don't think they'll think it's a GC stage.
Vollering needs to follow whatever happens GC-wise anyway, so that's regardless of what's happening for the stage.
Yeah, I just think, you know, Ardennes triple winner, strongest team.
I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, on to Movistar's team. Van Vleuten, Lippert, Mackay, Bjanic, Norsgaard, Patino, Gutierrez. I dare say they have better climbing domestiques than SD Works, particularly Patino is like a dedicated climbing domestique for Van Vleuten, and Lippert too is probably, Lippert climbs better than Reusser, so they have better climbing domestiques for Van Vleuten, and the flat domestiques like Bjanic, Mackay, you know, are more dedicated for that, and they split it in the crosswinds as a team performance. So that's why when I, Okay, I think Lippert might be able to go for a stage here and there in her moments, but this team is all around Annemiek van Vleuten. They want to defend. They want to go for the triple this year. La Vuelta, Giradonna, they've already ticked off. She won the inaugural edition. They want to go for the triple and win yellow again. And so, yeah, I think it's a really, really strong team. I don't really see too much weakness in it, frankly. They got flat, medium mountain and mountains covered.
I agree. I'm also curious how that combination of Lippert Van Vleuten will go. I feel like it will go better than in the preseason. In the preseason, I feel like they were trying a lot with Van Vleuten from far, with Lippert from late, yeah. But they both weren't the favorite from each of their positions. So they were kind of, it's weird to say this with Van Vleuten and Lippert, but they were outsiders for the race as a consequence.
Yeah.
While when it comes to the Tour de France Femme, I generally feel like they can compete for like stages, but the thing with Lippert as well is she has so much difficulty actually winning. Like, she can win a national championships, but when it comes to the races throughout the season, she's always second and third. So I always feel like she's going to get beaten by someone at any finish that she arrives at. But I agree, their domestiques are full on better than last year. And I also like their tactics in some of the stage races in the past and some of the classics in the past. Like, I swear they had a Patino satellite rider at some point in a race in the past, and that type of stuff. I like that stuff. So we've got those as the two main teams, and I think the Movistar strategy is much easier than the SD Works strategy, because if you're Movistar, the thing you focus on is making sure Van Vleuten doesn't lose time on any stage except Tourmalet, and smash up the Tourmalet and hope that you're good enough to make sure that any loss that you could have towards Vollering in the time trial that comes afterwards is taken care of on the climb itself.
And I think the hierarchy between Lippert and Van Vleuten is, when it really comes down to it, is clear in a stage race like this. In the Ardennes, yeah, they were kind of sharing, each doing their own thing, but here the hierarchy is clearer.
Agreed.
But yeah, on to the next GC team is Trek Segafredo, who bring
Erasure.
Oh, sorry, Little Trek. No, but listen, SD Works also have a co-sponsor, ProTime. Now, my brain, right? Listen up. My brain, once the season has started, is fixed. Not moldable. Cannot change. Cannot have new concepts introduced to it. During the cycling season, do not give me new information. October to December, my brain becomes malleable like a child's once again. So that's why I really struggle with the mid-season. You know, what was it, Alpecin de Koenig Anyway, Little Trek, I apologize. They don't bring Riolini, but they bring Lucinda Brand, Dignan, Balsamo, Sanguinetti, Longoborghini, Spratt, and Hansen. So I think Spratt's their GC leader. Than Longoborghini? Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I believe
Longoborghini in GC.
They'll be their GC leader. If I look at this team, let me tell you how I see it. If I take a look at this team, I see Longoborghini as Spratt as riders that will try in top five this race and maybe fight for the third spot. But I believe that top five is the highest they can get in GC. And then we've got Sanguinetti as the lead out for Balsamo, who's not had a very good run into this race because she's been injured. She broke her mandible, a fractured mandible, both sides, I think. And then also her...
it's in her face, right?
Something. She broke something, okay? I don't know. I'm not a medical person, but she broke something. And she only had clearance to train 2 weeks ago, according to the media. So I'm kind of shocked she's on the start list, to be honest. So I don't know what to expect. I hope she's good, but I'm worried. Then Dignan, I see her as domestique top for most of these races, and maybe she can compete for a stage somewhere on like a versatile terrain. Brand, same story, versatile terrain, maybe in a group ahead she can get and that way get something out of it, but she's also domestique type on this terrain. But I don't see the major difference between Longoborghini and Spratt that you seem to see.
Oh, I'm just thinking of Tourmalet, but then again, on Jebel Hafit, Longoborghini was very good. She put a minute into Pepperkamp and co, so maybe I am, you know, and Persico, maybe I am overrating Spratt, but I'm more doing that based on, there's been moments this year where Riolini was very clearly stronger than Spratt.
Yeah.
And they sort of almost had Riolini pacing in front of her. I can't remember which race. It might have been La Vuelta, where they didn't react to that. And it seemed like Spratt, given her, you know, yeah, in the hierarchy, seemed to be quite high up. So I think both will go for GC as long as possible. They will think that Spratt can do okay on the Tourmalet finish. You know, she is very small. But yeah, there's clearly just a huge gap. It's like in the men's race. There is a huge gap between the top two top guns and the sort of people competing for the podium. Would I be surprised if Elisa Longo Borghini finishes on the podium? No, I wouldn't be that surprised.
No, but I would say it's unlikely. I think it's position 4-7 in my head.
Yeah, there might be. I mean, is Labou over the course of 8 stages really that much better?
Yes.
In the TT, a flat TT ish,
and I trust Labou in TT.
Okay, yeah, probably she is. But I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me if Elisa Longo Borghini finished on the podium, and you know, last year she finished 6th, so yeah, she did struggle. It was actually Kashinovia Doma who edged Labou for the podium. So anyway, it's a solid enough team, but I don't think they have the perfect team with the perfect preparation that they might have hoped for. Obviously, I think Bolzano winning a stage is like their main goal, and podium with Spratt along with Borghini. The wildcard team you've already alluded to, Benji, is FDJ. You didn't allude to them really, but to me, they're the wildcard team. Ludwig, Brown, Cavalli, Music. And they have Los Arches as well, J. Deville and Guazzini are sort of flat and for sprints. But four riders, Cavalli really inconsistent and since that crash in this race last year. But then like the Girodonna, she wasn't very good. But then she destroyed everybody on the Altacam in the small Pyrenean stage race in a watts per kilo test this year. And then you got Brown, who I don't think will go for GC, and Music, who did Labou beat her for the white jersey last year?
I think
she did.
Was Labou available?
They weren't even eligible. Sorry, I mean the French jersey.
I don't know what the French jersey is, man.
She beat, we don't celebrate beat her for the that French in Belgium. Jersey. then you got Music, and then you got Ludwig, who also finished just in front of Music. So I think this team's going to be a free for all.
Ooh, I actually somewhat agree. As in, the hierarchy isn't overly clear, but I also have the opinion that based on Girodon, for example, Utrecht Ludwig was the stronger one compared to Cavalli. But then Cavalli was strong in Tour de Pyrénées, for example, that race got canceled because of the safety issues. So it's like every leader of their team has performed better than the other at some point in this year. One thing I'm certain about is that I feel like Grace Brown will be more the Reusser type that can go for a stage in that way by going early, maybe with Reusser. Maybe they can meet up in the breakaway. And as D-Works can say to Brown and say, well, we want an advantage with Reusser and you want a stage win. So let's go on an adventure and see who wins it. Then again, Brown wins it because she's got a good sprint. But I agree. I think it's not overly clear what the hierarchy in the team will be, and I think the race will make it out. But I'm also somewhat fearful that the race making it out, you will only know late in this race who your actual leader is. if GC stays as close as I perhaps expect it to be, Utrecht Ludwig should be pretty good on a hilly stage, Cavalli as well. So they shouldn't be losing that much. So it will come down towards the last mountain stage. And is it a big deal that they're not working for each other and looking after herself on the Tourmalet? I don't know, because
not really.
Other teams will control. Yeah.
Just follow at your own pace. And yeah, I think it's more of an issue in how they manage the medium mountain stages, which we keep referring to, which I think will be decisive for GC. Canyon SRAM, they actually have had a better season so far this year. They have Micah van der Doorn, Alice Towers, Elise Shabby's been very good in the Ardennes, Nivea Doma, who podiumed this race last year, but with a big gap. Paladin, Szkalniak Sojka, who's been like a Polish addition, but she won loads of races this year. She's been quite good. But my wild card and my pick for the is Ricarda Bauerfeind. Now, she is 23. She came third on the Mirador de Peñas Llanas stage in La Vuelta. She came fifth on Covadonga. She was pretty good, consistent in the World Tour Classics, but not outstanding. And yeah, she looks like a pure climber that will do really, really well in the Tourmalet. And they also have Nivea Doma. So I'll be interested to see how they manage those two. I think Bauerfeind might even be better than Nivea Doma in the high mountains here.
I really like Bauerfeind, as in the team that they had. They had Niedermayer and Bauerfeind that really stepped up since last year. Niedermayer had a fantastic stage win at Giro d'Anne, where she attacked very early together with Labou that tried to follow her later on. Labou ended second in that stage. Niedermayer ended up winning that stage. But she was also present in the other stages when it comes to GC fights. So it's kind of sad that we don't see her at the Tour de France FAM, but it's also logical considering the crash she had in that race, and maybe she hasn't come back from that. She's super young. But seeing Bauerfeind is at least a consolation for that, because she was strong at, was it the Vuelta Feminina?
Yeah.
Where she was close in GC stages. And when it comes to her Ardennes, for example, she was on the second row, so 13th to 25th position. So I agree in that scenario. When it comes to that team, it's hard, because like Kasia Niewiadoma last year was above expectations for me when it comes to her result. I did not expect her to come third in the Tour de France FAM. I did not expect her to be so good on the longer mountains, as in I expected her to kind of weather away as the climbs become longer, but she was able to sustain her gap on the other competitors for the podium quite well there. So I still think the team will go for Niewiadoma as GC leader at Canyon SRAM.
Damn.
But the TT is like so decisive, eh?
Yeah, I don't know how they'll go on the TT. I guess they got decent enough equipment. Team Jumbo-Visma, pretty obvious team. They want to win a stage with Marianne Vos. They have Marcus, who will try and go for a GC top 10. Lebecki, I don't really see how she fits in with Vos. To me, she should be her lead out. Van Aert, Krak, Anna Henderson, and Schwinkels as well. Mm-hmm. So they'll be going, yeah. Marcus basically does her own thing on GC, trying to get a top 10. And
yeah,
I think that they're one of the teams that should be really trying to make that first stage climb very, very difficult and trying to get rid of Vibers. And then Vos has a decent chance against Valsamo and Capecchi.
I agree with that. The thing with Vos as well is that she had a bit of an evolution this year, where in the Vuelta she was dominant on the versatile stages, but in the Giro d'Anne felt like there was something missing. There was a certain stage where she wasn't super happy about her performance, where she kind of didn't feel like she was able to give it all or something, that her legs just weren't there that day. At first it looked like a mechanical, but it wasn't. And I'm not sure if that means that she's gone down a bit in terms of evolution throughout the season, but if she's at the top step, then she can win one or two stages in this Tour de France FAM. When it comes to Marcus, I'm looking at a potential top 10 in GC, and the TT will be a very vital part in being able to
she should be good there.
Jump past riders. But there's also quite a few other good TTers in the top 10, like a Vollering and Van Vleuten will be good. Longoborghini had a great T3 at Swiss. But on paper,
but
there
Marcus
will
could
be pure
kill
climbers.
Labou and Muzic in that.
I agree. Muzic, I think Labou might be too far ahead at that point.
Yeah. Anyway, she was actually quite good pacing herself on the high mountains in La Vuelta, Marcus. I was surprised by that. I'm just going a bit quickly through some of the other teams. We have Jaco Alula with Manly as the versatile sprint option. Sant Esteban as the GC rider will try and get a top 10, as well as Howe, Allen, Pate, Kessler, and Campbell. UAE team ADQ bring Persico, who was actually the revelation of last year's Tour de France FAM avec Swift. She was, I think, she didn't win a stage, but she was quite close on a few occasions, even in splits, and competing against Vos for a stage win. Fifth in GC. She was outstanding. Now, she hasn't really, I would say, she hasn't backed that up too much this year. Like, she was 12th at Vuelta, 9th at Burgos, 8th at Giro d'Anne, but she won Brabant Spale and 4th at Flanders. No, she'd been good in the classics, but
no upgrade.
I don't know. Yeah, right? she kind of confirmed she is a serious rider. The absence in that team is, whilst they bring Magnaldi, who's, you know, their consistent GC option, mm-hmm. they don't bring Alena Ivanchenko, who's a 19-year-old Russian. I'm very, very high on her as a prospect, like really high. I think she's like the real deal. Eitan Covadonga and you know, her training and everything has not been ideal. So yeah, and she's 19, so I really think Ivanchenko is good, but she's not going to be there. So Magnaldi is clearly their GC rider. Chiara Consonni is their sprinter. Again, well, a pretty obvious team and how they'll approach stages.
I'd say Persico is their GC leader with Magnaldi as support, maybe. Or do you reckon they both go for GC?
Ooh, I mean, Magnaldi came fifth in Giro d'Italia, and I wouldn't sacrifice one for the other. I'd see how both are going. Persico will obviously be the rider for the punchy stages and the punchy finishes, but I think Magnaldi is maybe better on, like, Lagunas de Naya. She came second and she dropped Persico a little bit. So,
two GC leaders.
Yeah, I think they'll just go with the two and see how they end up. EF Go Ewers is their GC rider, and Alison Jackson, the Paris-Roubaix winner. Maybe she can get in a breakaway here on some of these middle stages. With Georgie Williams. So they'll be going for a stage and to see how well their American GC prospect Ewers can do.
Have we discussed Ashley Moore-Mompasio?
We have not yet at AG Insurance.
She moved team. She got way more leadership as she's the sole leader now. Last year she was duo leader and she had a bad day basically on the Grand Ballon stage, the Platzer-Wassel Markstein stage. I just named like three things in the stage to hope that everybody understands what stage I'm talking about. But I would argue that on the Tourmalet, I expect her to be there. But I'm also of the opinion that we're talking about a position 3-7 rider again. As in, I don't see her compete against the best riders because overall, as a GC rider, I feel like she lacks a little bit compared to a Vollering and a Van Vleuten. And this year, I feel like that was confirmed. On the Burgos, yes, she got third, for example, behind Vollering and Van Androoy, but 2 minutes and 11 behind Demi Vollering, for example, in that race. Then she was actually competitive in the Tour des Pyrénées, where she got beaten by Cavalli ahead of Niedermayer. So that's also, once again, not against the two best Dutchmen either. In the hilly classics, I feel she was just not, as in, the problem with her is that she doesn't have a sprint either, eh? So she doesn't have a proper sprint to be able to compete with the likes of a Vollering on a flat finish, for example, or that kind of stuff. So in the Hill Classic, she was there, but not necessarily at the competitive level where she can win stuff. And I'm not sure that she's shown this year that she can podium the Tour de France Femme for me.
No, but she does have the good TT setup because they're on Specialized. So that's an advantage against some of the other teams. So for her, but yeah, she on her quote unquote her stages, she still hasn't been that good. Like she got beaten by Cavalli. She got fifth in some of the Spanish ones. So, you know, they're the stages the she should be winning. Yeah, like, probably not.
The equipment's there, but you also need to be a top T-tier, and she's probably gonna lose a minute towards Van Vleuten and Vollering on that parkour, and she's probably gonna lose time to Longo Borghini on that parkour and some of the other GC riders, maybe similar time to Nivea Doma, a bit worse than Labou, I'd argue, in the time trial. So that's kind of what I'm expecting, perhaps. But yeah, that's basically my take on Ashley Moleman. And it's also, AG Insurance actually had a pretty good season, I'd argue. Because like, we saw the Vuelta for, was it the Vuelta? No, it was Andalusia? No, Valenciana, I think. The one where Moleman got second.
She won by a second.
Yeah, exactly. I think Lotta Hentola is in their team as a sprinter.
She is. And Romy
Casper's not. Are you surprised not to see Wollaston?
I am, because Wollaston, she seems to be very like good after she, you know, like a hard day, or like she came as the race progressed in the Giro d'Italia, her results improved. She actually came fifth on the second last stage and third on the last stage. And I don't know, she has 24 race days, but yeah, I'm a little bit surprised not to see her there. She'll be going to the World Championship. She's a 22-year-old Kiwi, by the way, and she's been very, very good this year. She won the Schwalbe Classic, one of the biggest races of the year, actually. The first race of the year. thanks for coming. So yeah, she's good. I am surprised not to see her there. Maybe she's injured, I don't know, because she's better than, you know, some of the other riders in their team. Last team I'll just mention is Israel. Claire Steels is quite strong. She's had a good year for them. I'd like to see her in a breakaway, but I think she'll try I don't know. And then there's Tamara Dronova Balabolina. She is also good. A breakaway candidate. You know, she's won races this year. She won two at Andalusia. So I would think they would try to get both of those riders in a breakaway because, yeah, winning against the top guns from the GC or Peloton is going to be very, very difficult. But I think it's time to move to the stages, stage-by-stage analysis, Benji.
I feel like we should talk shortly about the sprinters at this race. Because we discussed Wibbs exists. We discussed, well, we haven't discussed fully that Cole exists. She also lives.
We forgot DSM. No, we should do DSM. Sorry. I missed that. Okay. Yeah. Cole, tell me about DSM. And there's another team, DSM Firmenich.
Yes, DSM Firmenich. That is the team. They've got Charlotte Cole for the sprints. We spoke about Labou already, so I'll say that to the side for now. Mainly the sprint right now. They've got Georgie, Jastrap, and maybe Cudinier to help out with the train a tiny bit, but I feel like it's mainly going to be Georgie and Jastrap in that train. Georgie's been the lead out the entire season. It's kind of a similar storyline to SDWorks. They still bring Georgie, but Jastrap is added. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what their train will look like. Will they put Jastrap in the wheel of Georgie or ahead of Georgie? Because on paper, Jastrap is the faster sprinter, but then again, we know that the faster sprinter doesn't necessarily mean that they're the better lead out. So I feel like they might go towards the year before kind of train setup where this should be a fucking good train. And I think DSM will have
the best in the race.
Probably the best train, like you say. I do think that SDWorks will be competitive too with their Kopecky Bredewold train. So it's going to be one versus one in those trains. But those are the two main sprinters. Balsamo, we mentioned, not the greatest preparation. Consoni, second tier sprinter, in my opinion. Like Fad, full fifth in the sprints against these top riders. Marina Vos, Maaike van der Duin, completely underrated this season. I swear, if I look at her results list, it's like top threes everywhere. She's actually fucking good. I rewatched all the sprints of the entire season yesterday, and I feel like every sprint I heard Maaike van der Duin in like the background. So it was super cool to see. But then it continues in Barbieri, Norsgaard, Hentela. But looking at that list, Wibbs is the fastest flat sprinter to me, but it's not like last year, eh? Last year, we were starting off the race and we were being like, oh, Wibbs is going to win this stage and there's no one that can compete with her. And I feel like this year, she has some competition in the sense that she can't make mistakes anymore.
Well, yeah, Cole went 2-1 in the desert and actually Consoni was quite good there too, but we don't have too many of the UAE Tour style very easy stages or, you know, pancake flat stages. So I do think Wibbs has a little bit of an endurance or fitness edge given her improvement this year on Charlotte Cool, how that might give her more opportunities to win in some of these 50-50 stages. But yeah, I think Jastrab will be the last lead out and Feifel Georgie will be the setup woman, second last for Cole. And yeah, I think they actually should be blowing SDWorks out of the water on some of these stages in the lead outs because I don't think Vollering will be doing the lead out, actually. Anyway, DSM strong team, Labou, and it has Pepper Camp in support for GC, who was quite good on her feet. But yeah, Labou will go for another top GC result for the French jersey, but she'll be aiming for the podium this year. She'll be trying to improve.
The French jersey. The mythical French jersey.
It's important. You'll see on stage 20 in the men's tour. Stage one, 123.5Ks from Clermont-Ferrand to Clermont-Ferrand. It has no categorized climbs until the stage three climb, the Côte d'Artol, 1.6 kilometers, 7%, including some steeper sections than that. That crest, 9Ks from the finish. It's a very, very difficult stage to know exactly who will win. And so I'm going to go with who I'm pretty sure will be there in most scenarios, and that is Marianne Vos to win this stage and take the first yellow jersey because I don't know what SDWorks will do.
Me neither, but I'm still going to go for Lorena Wibbs because I believe that there are competent strategies for SDWorks to take that Wibbs can win this stage relatively easily. And she can climb better than all the other pure sprinters. So as long as she gets over that climb, and I would even argue, I truly believe that if the punchers launch on that climb, that Wibbs can follow. It's an out there take, but she's been so good this year that it would not surprise me to the point that I kind of see her make the split
There's some little hills beforehand. You know, it's up and down. Depends how they're raced. I think it's really a well-designed stage because I really don't know. You could be right. It depends who wants to launch and be aggressive. To be honest, if I'm...
Lippert?
Yeah, if I'm Lippert and you want her to go for it, or you're Nivea Doma and Canyon Shramp, what do you do? You try punch your way on that climb. I think it's a really interesting first stage, and I don't know, and that's why, I think Voss makes it in most scenarios. Balsamo is another one where it's like, but we're unsure of her form, but yeah, you're going with Vibas, I'm going for Voss. I can't wait to see who takes first yellow.
It's also different to an RVV, for example, because RVV climbs are shorter than 1.7K,
except
if your name
climb.
Is out of Quaremont. I agree. So that's the one worry I have when it comes to Vibas, that it's an LBL type climb and not an... It's not even an Amstel climb, because Amstel climbs are usually shorter as well.
But it doesn't have the fatigue before of LBL, so...
I agree.
Big effort.
Stage two then, we've got a parkour that is a... I don't know, man. Like, this parkour, Clément Ferrault to Mauriac, it's a parkour that the first half is rolly, I would say, as in the first 30 kilometers are false flat uphill, and then it goes false flat downhill. I'm using that term very, very widely at the moment, but the second half is quite hilly. It's got multiple climbs, as in just past halfway point of the range, a 4.6 kilometer, 5.5% climb, then a small 1K, 2K plateau, and then we go into the next climb, 1.3K, 6.8%. So some attrition climbs or potential attack options from that climb already with 50K to go if you want to send riders forward from that point onwards. Then there's like a rolly plateau with some hills in there, but the true triumphing moment in this race is the last 3.4K, which is 5.8%. The first 2 kilometers are the harder part, and it kind of flattens out to the finish line. And I have no clue what SD Works will do on this stage. Like, absolutely no clue. I cannot predict this.
There's also a bonus sprint with about 26 kilometers to go at the end of a 1 kilometer, 5% climb. I presume it's 8.52, like the men's race on offer there. I think this is a GC day.
Okay.
And because you really have to, just like with the stage before, you know, 1.6K, 7.6% the stage before, in the men's race, I'm like, they'll get over it, no problem. But we see that these sort of climbs can really blow apart a race. And when I see 4Ks, 7% out of neutral, if someone hits it, the bunch could be completely shredded. And then it's still uphill. Falls flat for the next 20Ks, and then there's loads of hills, and then there's all this fatigue before, a 4.6K, 5.5% climb,
mate,
followed by a 1,300 meter, 7% climb, that is enough to split the race. We saw it in the Giradonna, we've seen it in many other races, Van Vleuten and Vollering, that is enough for them to attack each other and other riders and drop them. So I think SD Works need to go all in on this stage to isolate Van Vleuten and basically try and have Reusser go solo with 100Ks to go. That's what I would do. On the 4.7% Côte de la Stelle, I would have the bunch already reduced by Capecchi or somebody, and I would attack with Reusser there with 100Ks to go and say, over to you, Movistar.
I actually like the ballsy tactic, because this is the shit you need to do to try and win the race from Van Vleuten. If you wait until the last Tourmalet climb, then you're looking at a potential loss there. We don't know yet, because Vollering has been climbing good this year, so she could also beat Van Vleuten on the Tourmalet. But you don't want to risk that.
Yeah,
so,
I don't like 50-50.
Yeah. At worst, they need to get in the break with Reusser with 50K to go. At worst. That's how I see it. So, because Reusser can win the stage early in the same way that Grace Brown can do it by attacking early in that same fashion. So, like, a bunch of Avengers of long-term attackers should, like, bond together and go on a bit of a move on this stage. And I would love them to attack with 100K to go, but I do not see it happening. I have zero confidence they will do that.
Probably not. No.
I think they see the stage and say, oh, it's an opportunity for Capecchi at the finish line.
Wow, yeah, I mean, if Strada Bianca, you know, she was very, very strong, and that's a difficult race too with harder climbs. So yeah, probably they look at this and they think, you know, why don't we thin it out with 50Ks to go, as you said, and Demi goes for the sprint for the bonies, and then, you know, maybe Roycer attacks with 20Ks to go after that 6% climb later in the stage. I really think they got to send a long ranger with Roycer. Capecchi won't work because she's not really relevant for GC. And you know, if Roycer takes a lot of time and then has a TT, who knows? Like, now you really are... I don't think Movistar will want to give Roycer that much time, and so you really will be putting them under pressure. And maybe if you're Canyon SRAM, you try to join her. I really think you've got to gang up on Movistar and Van Vleuten and put them under pressure, because if they've launched that first 50Ks or so, or say they've launched the second set of climbs before the intermediate sprint, how many riders will Movistar have with Van Vleuten? Just Lippert, right? I don't expect it to be more than Lippert.
Probably.
Now, that's a good rider to have with you, I grant you. But anyway, I really think this is a sneaky GC day where shit could completely go off. But in the finish, Benji, I'm going to go with Demi Vollering winning the stage. I think it's quite hard. I think I think SD Works got to get her going for the bonies at the finish. Sorry, Capecchi, but just like Van Aert, I'm sorry, but we're here to win GC.
Yep.
And yeah, I think this is a Demi Vollering win.
I'm going to go completely against what I said earlier. I'm going to go for Lippert, even though I just said she can't win. So Leona Lippert wins this. I feel like she's had a good punch in Giro Don, and I kind of see it. But it's also the same thing. They're going to go with Lippert for the stage then, maybe, because Van Vleuten can't necessarily win from that group against Vollering, but she's also going to sprint. But then you're kind of losing out on bonus seconds with Van Vleuten, or competitiveness with Van Vleuten if you don't lead out Van Vleuten. So that's also an interesting dynamic I'm looking for on this stage that I can't predict.
Sneaky stage win for Ludwig also on the card. She won a stage last year in an uphill sprint where Van Vleuten was sick and SD Works didn't press the advantage. Ludwig also quite good to snipe a stage like this. Stage 3 from Cologne-la-Rouge to Montignac-Lascaux, 147.5Ks. To me, this is the first clear sprint stage. Even though there are rolling climbs throughout the day, it's not a flat stage. Like, there's, you know, 6% for 1 kilometer, but it's far further from the finish. I think Vibas wins this stage, Benji.
I think it's such a... These routes are actually really intriguing, because, like, if you took this parkour and you looked at it in men's cycling, this would be controlled entirely. We have less domestiques in women's cycling, as in there's only 7 riders per team, not 8 riders per team. And with teams that aren't necessarily fully on GC or fully on sprint, that means that there's even less domestiques in that sense. Because if you focus your entire team on a sprinter, then you'll have more domestiques. So I kind of felt the same when I looked at this parkour, that this would be a sprint stage. But I also see opportunities for attacks throughout the parkour. So I'd say it ends in a sprint. I also say Vibas is the favorite, but I would say it wouldn't surprise me if we do see a move, maybe not Roycer, but maybe Rihanna Marcus or something on that climb with 50K to go, for example, on the Côte des Andrieux combination with Saint-Aubert, that kind of place for a move like that.
This is really a stage as well that a strong break could try and go of non-GC riders. So maybe I'm looking at a sort of a Manly, because Manly's not going to win the bunch sprint against Vibas. So she may as well, but she could win a reduced group sprint from a breakaway. So if I'm Jayco, I try to get Manly in the break, or have Amber Pate or Georgie Howe try set her up. You know, I'm also looking at Shabby, Dronova, Balabalina on Israel, as I mentioned, or Grace Brown. I really think a breakaway has a decent chance if enough riders and teams accept that, listen, if we go to the finish, we're not going to beat Cole and Vibas or even Consonni. So I think that has a chance. And as you said, how many of, if Royce is in GC, if Vollering's in GC, now, okay, Cecchini, Bredewald, and Majerus have to control the whole stage. And yes, DSM have riders. So I don't know. A breakaway could win this if they all get together.
I agree with that. And the next stage is also an opportunity where late attacks can happen, because that's kind of the punchy stage. We've got Cahors to Rodez. This is 177 kilometers. Like you said, the longest stage. And is this the longest stage of Mariano Voss's career? Because I swear that last year it was just shorter than this. And I swear I said that it was the longest stage of her career. So this is once again the longest stage of her career, if I unless I'm completely wrong. But this parkour is 75% flat, roughly flat. And then the last 25% is hills. We've got, I'd say, three categorized climbs, but rolling hills in between in that last 25%. It starts with the Côte de Colombier, which is 6.6 kilometers at 4.2%. A bonus sprint on the plateau on top. So that's going to be intriguing, slightly uphill towards it. And then the last two climbs follow after this descent of that, which is the Côte de Moiraz, 4.7K, 5.1%. These two climbs we mentioned so far, not the craziest percentage. And the hardest climb, percentage-wise, is the next one, but it's the shortest one. So that's a punchy type. The Côte de... I can't read it because there's text throughout the other text.
Côte de la Verge.
Something like that.
Côte de la Verge. Yeah.
Okay. 2.3 kilometers, 7.1%. And then we are roughly, I'd say 10 kilometers before the finish line with some rolly descent, but an uphill drag towards the finish line. So if you take a look at this parkour, the final ramp is 8.6% by the way, that final ramp. So it's not exactly an uphill drag either. I am thinking the last three climbs that I mentioned there, they're also not the climbs where I see major differences. So I feel like this is truly a punchy finish between Lippert, Ludwig,
Vollering. I think it's a big GC day.
Really?
Yeah. I think this is, it's like 2,500 meters elevation. A lot of it's in the last 25, 30 kilometers. I think, you know, 6.6K is 4.2%. It doesn't sound that hard, but, you know, the lower speeds they do, you know, with the, there's still a lot of fatigue there. And then 5% for 4.7Ks. Again, I think that's, I think there could be big action here. And I think Vollering has to go for it. I think, is LBL that much harder than this? You know, is it that much? It is, but it's a long stage and 180Ks and then an uphill finish. You know, I really think this could kick off. I think Canyon Shram got to use riders up the road like Shabby, like they tried to do in the Ardennes. And that's how they try and put pressure on to win the stage. And because of that bonus sprint, they'll already be GC riders moving early, trying to sprinting. And then all of a sudden they have a gap and the group is four riders and like, all right, let's go. So I think this is a great stage for Vollering. No surprise, she won all three Ardennes races. So I think SD Works got to go all in for her and get her to win the stage at a minimum. And a gap would be good too.
Good take, I would say. I think I agree with most of what you said, except for the fact that I don't expect the differences to be that huge on the stage. And it's also like, we're talking about the small climbs and so forth. Would you reckon that if you're a Movistar, you make the longer climbs as hard as possible to make sure the Vollering snap on the smaller hills doesn't hit as hard?
Yeah, I'd get Capecchi and put her at a pace on the 6K 4% climb already.
No, if you're Movistar, I'm saying.
Oh, sorry,
if you're
sorry,
Movistar,
sorry.
Don't you make the longer climbs harder to make sure the snap doesn't hit as hard?
With Patino or someone? Yeah, maybe. I don't know what I'd do if I was Movistar. Maybe get Lippert up the road. I don't know. I also don't know Van Vleuten's shape. Maybe I'm wrong in thinking that Vollering's better on the punchy stages because maybe Van Vleuten wasn't in her best shape in the Ardennes, and so she'll be better here. But yeah, this
inherently,
is a great stage. Yeah.
Inherently, Vollering does have the advantage on this parkour. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, the next stage, I'll throw it over to you. It's a weird stage.
It is a strange stage. 126Ks from Onet-le-Château to Albi. It is short, but again, punchy climbs throughout the stage. I really think this is, I mean, I'm not going to repeat the full argument I made about using Roycer to gain time on GC to put pressure on Movistar, but again, this is one of those where you could try and do that. It's uphill to start. I really like to see a breakaway go. I think there'll be enough GC gaps here. I really think the break could win this if they do it right because it's short, punchy. Can Vibas really make the finish? Probably, but they can't go too fast on the climbs chasing behind because they might drop her. And there's 2.2K, 7.6% followed by 1.6K, 7.6%, and another bony sprint after another 1,700 meters, 6% climb. About 30Ks from the finish. So I think it's another very difficult stage where, depending on the appetite of the peloton, we might see gaps again. And I'll just repeat that I think SD Works should use Roycer offensively here. But I'm going to go with the Marianne Vos small group sprint finish. I just think it'll be a little bit too hard for Vibas. And because of the bonus sprint, they will be going quickly up those climbs. So I think Vos wins this one.
I think it's very possible, but I'm going to be opposite man today. I'm going to say Vibas anyway, because I think she climbs well, but I agree that the climbs are too long. So I expect her to kind of be off the back on those climbs, and then it depends on whether SDWorks is willing to drop people back to try and bring her back in the last 27k of this race, which is not impossible. So that's my take on this, I guess. But the next stage is pure sprint stage. There's hills in it, but I don't expect them to overly matter, because the hardest ones are in the first half. So that's notable. But pure flat sprint, I think it's between Vibas and Cole, and to offset our predictions of Vibas every single stage, I'm going to go for Cole on this one.
I'm going to go with Chiara Consoni, but yeah, I would have picked Cole too. I think this is the one she'll be really targeting as one. Yeah, her team is good for. They'll be able to control the short stage like this, 122Ks, you know, 3 hours or less. So yeah. Next stage, the big one, 91Ks from Lannemezan to Tourmalet, from Saumarie de Campagne. Beast of a stage. They do the Col d'Aspin as a little warm-up, a climb that on its own would be enough to create huge GC gaps if it was the finishing climb, like we saw with Covadonga, 12Ks at 6.6%, then a not too difficult descent of about 13 kilometers, and there's some recovery in there as well before the false side uphill, and because the first 4Ks of Tourmalet are not so hard. But yeah, 17.2Ks, 7.3%, this is going to be a beast up to 2,100 meters. And I think I'm going with Vollering. I think she's better than Van Vleuten on the longer climbs. I think she's improved, and, you know, I never count out Van Vleuten, but I was really impressed with the Covadonga performance. That's lower altitude, of course. There will be huge gaps on this stage. This would be one that if Riolini was here, I would have picked her. But yeah, this was, you know, this will make all the other GC action most likely in the previous six stages seem irrelevant and really put everyone in their place.
I'm extremely curious how it's going to be ridden, because last year we had our major GC mountain stage where we anticipated that the race would open up before the broadcast, as in it would start on the first proper climb. And when I look at this parcours, Aspin is easier, but it's still super hard. 12 kilometers, 6.6%, that's not easy. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see the differences already being on that climb, but will Van Vleuten be as offensive as usual, knowing that she was beaten on Lagunas de Naya, for example? I would expect still yes, because
I think she'll be behind at this point.
What do you mean? On Aspin? Oh, in GC. Yeah, okay.
In GC, yeah. Whether it's 5 seconds or a bit more or whatever, I think Vollering will have more ponies than her up to this point.
I think Van Vleuten will try and open it up on a spell already, similar fashion of last year where she opened it up really early. So I sincerely hope we got the broadcast starting at the foot of our spam, or I'm going to be perishing. Okay. I will trust you on that. If it doesn't start, I will come knock on your door. But I think that for me, I'm always pro race entertainment. And I think the most entertaining thing would be if Van Vleuten can take time on Vollering on this stage, so that it's down to the time trial where I think Vollering has a slight edge on Van Vleuten.
I mean, AVV on a day in a TT is us. Yeah. I don't really know either. I actually couldn't. I don't know. But you're right. I think it might be a mistake for Van Vleuten to do what she did last year, given Vollering's level, to just pay. And then what do you do if she's with you at the top of Col d'Aspin? You're going to pace the whole descent in the valley and then the shallow slopes of Tourmalet with her and your wheel. That's a big risk that you get dropped then afterwards. So I can't wait to watch. I'll be really closely watching the young guns like Niedermeyer, Well, I wish she was here, but Bauerfeind, her German compatriot.
You'll be rewatching Giro Don in the meanwhile.
Maybe.
Watching Niedermeyer.
I'll also be interested to see, you know, what do other top, you know, podium candidates, but top 10 GC contenders. When AVV goes crazy, if she's behind, or Vollering, if the two guns go crazy, I think the other riders should do a Geraint Thomas here. Unless they really feel $1 million, But if you're Veronica Ewers, if you're Mulman, if you're Magnaldi, if you're Spratt, if you're Bauerfeind, as I said, probably the best option is, or Music or Labou, probably the best option is doing your own pace. Basically, otherwise, you risk killing yourself.
Don't do what Utrup Ludwig did on that random climb in the Tour of Norway 2 years ago, where she tried to follow Van Vleuten to the point that she finished third instead of second, if I recall correctly, on that stage. So that's the kind of thing. Like, play knowing that you won't win the Tour de France Femme. Play for the podium.
Yeah, if the race goes as we expect. But I think Nivea Doma is actually very good at that. From memory last year, I feel like she was often dropped quite early on, like, Super Planche de Belfi or the Vosges stages, and then she chugged her way back to finish, like, fourth, I think, on the Super Planche de Belfi stage. So yeah. I think Nivea Doma might be quite solid in that regard. But I've got Vollering winning the stage, Benji, and actually putting GC out of sight, even though there's the time trial the next day.
Okay. I think it's not impossible. I think Van Vleuten is not the obvious favorite before this Tour de France. The odds agree, because Vollering's ahead in the odds, but I think they're just very close to each other, and I hope that we've got a very close battle. And going into that time trial, the Paul TT, 22.6 kilometers, Paul's very very known within cycling. I'm not sure. Is it because the mayor is actually a Tour de France like fanboy, or is it because Paul is kind of the gate to the Pyrenees in the first place?
I'm pretty sure the mayor is like a big dog in French politics.
Okay. So that explains. Anyway, parkour, pretty straightforward. It's the first kilometer is slightly downhill, then it's flat until the middle of the race where you've got a climb, the Bosse d'Arrol climb, 1.4 kilometers, 7.4%, pretty punchy climb
pretty hard,
for this TT. Then it's flat again until the last kilometer, which is kind of uphill again. So it looks like they just mirrored the first half of this TT into the second half of this TT, which is kind of funny to see. But I think the hill, I know, it doesn't matter, irrelevant, because Van Vleuten and Vollering, I rate them very similar on this TT. I just have Vollering with a 1% edge, maybe.
Yeah, it still is mostly a flat TT, 200 meters elevation gain over the 23 kilometers. For reference, the TT we just saw in the Tour, the men's race was, 600 plus meters elevation in the same. So this is largely a flat time trial. I think Royce, despite those hills, still wins. I think she gains enough time on the, 20 kilometers that there is a flat or false flat downhill. So I'm going with Royce. This is a big target for her. I think this is the one she will have circled, the first TT in the Tour de France Femme avec Swift that we've had, and a way to finish the race off. So with Noelle van Dijk here on maternity leave, I think Royce gets it done. But who knows? Maybe AVV is behind. Maybe Vollering is behind, and we see a crazy result. Is there anyone? I don't really see anyone close to those three, Benji, in the TT.
I agree. I think Royce wins.
Okay. They're the stages. but now we've gone through overall, let's talk about then our predictions and how we think the race will go, starting with the KOM jersey. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I totted up all the numbers. It's just so in favor of whoever crosses Aspin and Tourmalet first, because there's a Cat 1 and an HC climb. Yes, there are loads of Cat 4s and Cat 3s throughout the race, but I don't see it as being... And so mathematically, I think someone could take KOM that didn't sort of finish or take points on the Queen stage, but realistically, I don't see someone getting in the break every day, taking all those category, those points. I think it's between Vollering and Van Vleuten, the KOM, and, because I said Vollering will win the Tourmalet stage, I think Vollering will win KOM by default, just the way the points are allocated.
I've got the opposite, eh? I have Van Vleuten for the stage, and okay. I feel like she's going to be first over Aspin with Vollering in the wheel, so that might True. Help as well. So I see this as Van Vleuten taking KOM. Then we go towards the green jersey, and I did not take a look at the point system of the green jersey, so I could be really stupid by saying that I believe Lorena Wiebes will take it.
I think it depends how Capecchi goes. The role of Capecchi in this SD Works team is curious to me.
I don't think she's going for it.
Yeah.
She's basically Wout.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think she's going to be in the weird Wout role this year where it kind of, it doesn't work out for her because either the stage is too hard and Vollering has to go for it, or it's easy enough that Vibas goes for it. I find it difficult to see for her. I mean, and also those intermediate sprints are going to be important too. So I don't think, I'm going to go with Marianna Vos winning the points jersey, mainly because I think there's a lot of these intermediate sprints at the end of hills where I think Vibas is going to be, it's going to struggle a little bit. So I'm going to go with Marianna Vos. I think she'll be consistent enough getting top fives in the pure bunch sprints, and then she'll take enough points elsewhere that Vibas won't.
And I also feel like Jumbo will go all out for it.
Yeah.
While SDWorks has other priorities in the race. So Vos might be the better pick than compared to my pick. But anyway, we haven't spoken about the Y jersey. Am I right in saying that the Y jersey is weird in this race where it's under 23 instead of under 25, which is under 25 at the men's, U23 here? I kind of like it because I also feel like half the women's peloton is super young.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's way too thin the field for it.
Okay.
Like Bauerfein's not even eligible for it. Like,
yeah.
Who's the GC riders even eligible for? Julie de Wilde?
Should it be a combination of, for example, under 25 in your first edition?
I think it should just be the same as the men's. I don't know. Is the average age of the women's peloton that much younger than the men's that we're like, isn't the men's peloton the one where we've got all this, the young guns dominating everything? Like, I don't understand why it's U23 or what the motivation for that is. It's not like there's been a 23-year-old that's won every race. It's like Vollering, you know, she's what, 26? Van Vleuten's near, you know, in her late 30s. I don't understand it at all, to be honest.
It's difficult for me to say who's going to win this because, like you say, it's difficult to know who's eligible. And Bredewold on Park Hotel last year was competitive for this, but she's also U23 now, and I'm not sure whether she's still eligible. I don't know what the year rule is for that, but there's just... Borgström last year got close, but Molman is now pure leader for that team as well, so will she be able to get that freedom again? No one knows. Maybe Curinier is like a name that comes in my head.
Yeah.
Léa Curinier from Sunweb. Not Sunweb. Jesus Christ. I just said Sunweb. from DSM. She's 22 and she's an okay climber. She's not godlike, but we're looking at the top 40s to find that one soul that is young enough to be able to compete, right?
I know Riolini would have been eligible and she would have walked it if she'd been here, but she's not. So honestly, I don't know. I'm going to go with Eleonora Gasparini from UAE Team ADQ. She won a stage at Tour de Suisse Women. She was like good. She's been a consistent stage racer throughout the year. I think she should be the favorite for it on UAE, and it's probably the most realistic jersey they can win. Same with the reason Vos for, you know, in points for Jumbo, it's the most realistic jersey they can win. So yeah, I think Gasparini is the favorite for this, and I think she takes it.
Okay. There's one thing left, eh? The podium of the Tour de France Femme, and I feel like our top two is going to be the two same riders, but I actually have a lot of difficulty figuring out who my third rider on the podium step is. Have you figured it out?
Well, first, let's like the tactics. Do you think SDWorks will... First of all, I believe Vollering is the better climber now, okay, or at least is equal. TT, I don't know, could go either way on the day. Better, I think Vollering should be taking more bonies, and there's a lot on offer. There's a couple of those bonus sprints, and they're at the end of hills, and then there's finishes. I think Vollering can build up a nice little 15-second buffer with bonies before even the Queen stage, and that makes her puts her in the wheel of Van Vleuten. And now Van Vleuten has to pace a long time. So, yeah, I think Vollering has the advantage from that, and then her climbing's at least equal now based on La Vuelta, but who knows? And so maybe I'm wrong in even saying that they need to do the crazy stuff with Royce. I would still do it to weaken Van Vleuten. I would still do it anyway. But that's how I see it. I don't think SDWorks will do that. I do think there's a possibility STWorks have some fuck-ups and suddenly Capecchi sprinting for bonus sprints instead of Vollering, or they're trying to go for Capecchi to win a stage that Vollering could come take 6 seconds in second, you know? Or they're getting Vollering to lead out Capecchi, who loses to Voss, and then Vollering gets no bonies. That's certainly possible. But I do think Vollering's too good, and so that's why I have her ahead. And yeah, you're right, third. So yeah, my podium is Vollering first, Van Vleuten second. Third, I have Kashinev Yudoma. I think Canyon Schramm are on a really good trajectory. I think she is the Demi Vollering BTEC version with her punch in the Massif Central on those medium mountain stages. I do think Barfind will be good, but not quite good enough. So I was going to pick Barfind for third, but I'm going to go with Nivia Doma. I think she's been a really consistent stage racer and good in Flanders and Amstel, and I think she'll repeat her third of last year.
I think that's a solid podium. On one end, I agree that Vollering is, for me in my head, the most logical winner of this Tour de France, but I feel like we need some competition in this podcast. Yeah. So Van Vleuten will win the Tour de France Femme ahead of Vollering, and the third position will be for Juliette Labou. Side note,
nice.
I feel like I'm probably a Juliette Labou fan, but regardless of that, she's been in an upward trajectory the last few years. Her longer climbing is good. Whether she can stay within contact in all the other stages, she's been pretty okay in the Hilly Classic. So
I mean, second in Girardona. She's pretty good.
Pretty good. She got ahead, though, in that stage by attacking the group. But that being said, she can do that here maybe as well. So Labou in third, and that's the wrap.
I'm really excited to see this race. I think these Massif Central stages, you might be looking at them and thinking, this is medium mountain filler. I think you're wrong. I think it could kick off. Not all of them, but I think there could be, like, look at that Vuelta stage that Van Vleuten took the time in the crosswinds. I think AVV also, she got that dog in her. She's a veteran. She senses weakness. If she sees any problem with STWorks, she's going to go, and she's got the team behind her to launch it. So I really, really can't wait. And as I said, starts on Sunday in the afternoon before the Champs-Élysées stage, so you can watch the women's stage in full. And to be honest, don't even bother watching Champs-Élysées stage. Just watch, focus on the women's race. And I can't wait. We're going to have, from Sunday to the Sunday afterwards, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage on the podcast of every stage. I'll have highlights of every stage on the Lantern Rouge YouTube channel as well. It's a big month, but to be honest, before the tour, I'm like, I'm going to be so fucked. But now I'm actually a bit re-energized with the men's race being kind of over for GC. I'm really re-energized by what is a mouth-watering battle between the two big guns in the Tour de France Femme avec Swift, and also in the sprints and the punchy stages. I think it's going to be a great race, and I can't wait to watch it. So thanks for listening. As always, let us know your predictions down below, and we'll see you with the Stage 1 recap if you're a women's only fan on Sunday. Until then, ciao.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.